Great love passages in the Bible regarding love, its meaning, for whom it's given, and the responsibilities that love carries. Just like we have rights, we all have rights guaranteed by our Constitution, but every right carries with it a responsibility to not hurt others with our choices. And love kind of carries that same responsibility. The Apostle John, just in these 14 verses, say the word love or beloved 28 times. 28 times in 14 verses. And if love is talked about so much, not only in this reading, but throughout the Bible, seems like maybe God wants us to pay attention to that. So in chapter 2, verse 4, which I read prior to reading the chapter that we read today, John says this about the responsibility that goes along with love. And this is from the Living Bible. Someone may say, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, I belong to Christ. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to do, he lies. Paul goes on to explain this, that this is not a new rule. It's a very old rule given by Christ right from the start when he began his ministry. And it refers to the commandments when he was asked which commandments were the most important. Love one another as God loves you. And then he continues with, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Paul encourages people to live as Christ did if they were to call themselves Christians. So if you look at your first reading again, 1 John 4, verse 20, that's important. If you hate your brothers and sisters, how can you love a God you have not seen? So in reference to these verses mentioned in 1 John, that comes from Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That is the first and greatest commandment. The second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws and are fulfilled if you obey them. Keep only these, and you will find that you are obeying all the others. And think about the commandments. Isn't that really true? If you truly love people and love God, you're going to naturally follow those commandments. So there are a lot of references to love throughout the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament. So I'm going to share some of those with you. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 13. And that's what this song, The Gift of Love, is all about. My sister-in-law, Nanny, recently passed away, and while she's still was able to think and communicate, she requested that reading for her funeral. The verses in this chapter and the verses in the song express what real love looks like. When Paul wrote those letters to the Corinthians, he tells them it's the basis for the fundamental teachings of faith. And what does it look like? Love is kind. Love is patient and humble and forgiving. He also tells the Corinthians that all the things we have in this world will someday come to an end. But love goes on forever. Indeed, that's the only thing your soul can take with it when you go from this life to the next place. You could certainly stuff your coffin with all the money you've ever made in your lifetime, but it wouldn't go with you to the next place, and it wouldn't do anyone else any good either. The things of the world will end, love will not. Another good one is John 3, verse 16, and it's the very cornerstone of the Christian faith. It expresses the essence of divine love. We are called to a life rooted in love. And here's the quote. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, if you have had children, can you imagine how difficult that would be to see your child suffering like that? Christ's life on earth was painful in so many ways. That would be a huge gift to the world. Colossians 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul emphasizes that love, agape love, which is of and from God, is the bond that unites all other virtues. He encourages believers to put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Put on love. How do you put that on? It might not be like you put your pants on one leg at a time. But I think what he's talking about here is to live your love, not just say it. You know how easy it is sometimes to say, love you, bye-bye. Well, the love that is talked about in John 3 is the kind of love that carries you through the day, thinking about and caring for the people in your life. And then there's, well, I'm sorry, I got on the wrong verse here. So, mean it, don't just speak it. And when you apply that to relationships, it fosters virtues like kindness, patience, humility, forgiveness. And poor Pete, he got singled out at Bethel this morning. And he's not here to defend himself, so I'm going to do it again. Bless his heart, Pete endures my OCD tendencies in a kind and patient way most of the time. And he doesn't do it because I'm so charming or because he thinks it's funny. He endures it because he loves me. He loves me enough to be patient with all my eccentricities. And I'm sure we all have them. Marriage and friendships are not always easy. We have to be patient and kind with one another. But how rich it makes our life when we are so blessed to have that kind of love. It's the bedrock for meaningful connections and gives us many opportunities to demonstrate Christ-like love toward one another. When we have that agape love, we feel compelled to share it with others in the broader world, creating unity and healing, healing all the division and anger. Just think about the shape our world is in right now, and even just our country. We need lots of that agape love. If we choose love as our guiding light, we contribute to society that acknowledges the inherent worth and dignity of every individual, regardless of their backgrounds or beliefs or hair color or where they choose to worship or not worship. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 and 8. Now this one, excuse me, this one is a little bit different view of it, but it's such a good passage, and actually the entire letter of 1 Peter is a good one to read. And I had never read it before working on my sermon, so I did read it. I took the time to read the whole thing, and boy, there's a lot of good stuff in there. If you've never read 1 Peter, you might want to put that on your list. So in verse 7, he says, the end of the world is coming soon. And then in verse 8, Therefore, be earnest, thoughtful men of prayer. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love makes up for many of your faults. Isn't that wonderful? Because we all have faults. Peter goes on to encourage the people in this chapter to use the gifts that God has given them to help others. Ephesians 4, verse 2, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. That sounds like a good recipe for a marriage or a friendship, doesn't it? And you notice how humble and gentle and forgiving just keep repeating right along with love. The Song of Solomon, chapter 8, has a little gem for us. Love cannot be purchased. It can only be given freely. Many waters cannot quench the flame of love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man tried to buy it with everything he owned, he couldn't do it. Romans 13, verse 8. Pay all of your debts except the debt of love for others. Never finish paying that. For if you love them, you will be obeying all of God's laws. And finally, one more good reminder, this one from Luke 6, verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And there are so many more passages, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament, about love. But these verses, I think, pull together our first lesson, our psalm, and our gospel. The agape love in these verses I have quoted allow us to bear fruit, to be connected to the vine, to be connected to God and God's love for each of us. Agape love does not hate and discriminate. It does not ignore the needs of others who have less or have a different opinion from you. Agape love does not walk past the hungry or sick or the lonely without helping them. Agape love does not gossip or belittle or ridicule. Agape love is not always angry. Have you ever noticed how angry people are? If we watch the news, we can see how much anger there is. Agape love does not judge who is worthy of God's love. So how do we apply all this to our daily lives? How do we become part of that flow, the ebb and flow of God's love? You look around, you'll find things. Something my son-in-law said one day has stuck with me ever since he said it. See a need, fill a need. It can be as simple as that. Open doors. Deliver meals to people who are alone on holidays if you can't bring them to your celebration. Say please and thank you. Give compliments generously. You just never know what it's going to do for a person who is having a bad day if you say, I like your blouse today. That looks so pretty on you. And how much did that cost you? 2 seconds of your time. Smile at strangers. Leave tips when someone serves you. If someone budges in front of you in a line, don't get all up in their faces about it. Just stay where you are and smile. Even if you don't mean the smile, it shows that you're going to be the better person about it. Stick up for someone being bullied or ridiculed. Let them know that they're not alone. Pick up garbage, even if it isn't yours. Be patient if someone is irritating you. And we all know someone, right? You know, maybe it's the person who talks too much, or maybe it's the person who's always complaining. Everybody knows someone who's irritating, but just be patient and smile, even if you don't mean the smile. But you know what? Eventually, you are going to mean the smile if you practice that. Go to those fundraisers for people experiencing illness or hardships, even if you aren't hungry for pancakes or spaghetti. Be there and be generous. Be a good listener. That's a huge thing. There have been times when I've joked about this tattoo on my forehead that says, "Tell me all about it." But seriously, people need to be heard. They need to be heard. So maybe that can be you listening. Look around. You'll find opportunities. Or read the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12 from the Sermon on the Mount will give you lots of good ideas. And Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 through 49, he repeats some of those qualities from the Sermon on the Plains. Opportunities to share God's love with others are endless. You'll find them. And then maybe look within. When you extend these acts of love, are you doing it with a pure heart? Or are you doing it because you want to look good? Be sure your heart is in the right place. Lord, open our eyes to see the needs of others and open our hearts to receive your love and pass it on to others without expectations, love freely given without conditions, agape love. Amen.